Testing 1, 2, there we are. All right. That song says, "Your thoughts define me." Whew. Man, that's shouting territory right there. I said, that's shouting territory when his thoughts define you. I is who he says I is. Amen. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you again for the honor and the privilege of standing before the body, the tabernacle not made with hands, the habitation of the Spirit. We'll lend ourselves completely and totally to the task at hand. That is to foster and disseminate information by the Spirit of God into the hearts of men and women that will never be the same. So we give you all the glory. Yeah, Lord. All the honor. Because Abba, I belong to you. You are my very own father. I'm your very own child. And you've afforded things to me in the covenant of promise that now I extract by faith. So we lean upon the glory of God, the great teacher, the Holy Spirit that dwells us. And we give you all the praise for this time together with the people of God. For that we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You just can't outdo or overdo good praise and worship. There is no substitute for the anointing. You can't manufacture it. You can't buy it. You can't sell it. You can't acquire it. It's God-given. And I just want to say to the praise team, literally, this is the fewest numbers I've ever seen up there. But it doesn't diminish the anointing of God. I'm telling you right now, man, we could have stayed there a while. Can you say amen? Well, go to Ephesians chapter 2. We've got to have you up before midnight. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. By way of review, and it's not going to be much because I intend not to keep you very long tonight. I guess I could qualify that by saying I don't always get what I intend. Amen. But I intend to keep you a very short period of time, and the Lord knows that's in my heart. I think because the more information you get, the longer it takes to process it, and the longer it takes for you to implement what you got. So we won't want you going to March trying to figure out what I said. Amen. And so we'll get into this and repeat a couple of things. It's just add a few things I think that'll help us see. I talked to my wife after service. She said to tell everybody hello. She would love to have been here, obviously. And it's amazing what Pastor said concerning what he and Brother Josh had been talking about. And the synergy and the synchronization and the flowing together of God's word is universal. Not any one church, not any one state. And there's one Holy Spirit speaking to one body. When we get in touch with him, we can pretty much figure he's saying the same thing about the same time. Can you say amen? Now, there are different levels of people, different levels of people, but by and large, she said to me, she says, you know, it was amazing what Brother Paul talked about this morning. I said, what's that? She said, I'd rather not making any resolutions, amen, but getting over there and just doing the Bible. I said, that was Brother Jesse, said, he and Brother Josh were talking about. Incidentally, that's what the Holy Ghost talked to us about. Okay. So, Ephesians chapter 2. We reflect, and this is reflection. This is Paul's mode of reflection. He says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So were is past tense, isn't it? He goes on to keep with that theme in that second verse, wherein in time past. That's the theme throughout this whole particular chapter, in time past. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world. We said the word course is the Greek word for aeon or ages, or being in step with the world. That's how we walked. We looked that way. We acted that way because that was in vogue. That was. I remember I left here in 1963, and I was telling Rob this morning, just a moment ago, I left in 63, And I came back intermittently off and on as I traveled through in the military and come back and see my mom and stuff like that. And lived in California, and, you know, there were a lot of things emanated from California, fashion-wise and style-wise. New York is New York, you know. They just have their own thing, but things are innovative in California, used to be anyway. And so you'd have all these different things. And I remember, you didn't hear this, but they were called surfer vans. The customized vans, they were surfer vans. And so you start seeing these things, I'm thinking, wow. And so I came down, when I got to Baton Rouge, I thought something was wrong with my car. I had one of those, you see. And I thought something was wrong because people were looking at me. And I parked in front of a place called the Playhouse, which is used to be where I used to live in Donaldsonville. And it was it was a teenage type of club. Adults would go in there, no alcohol, you know, had a big spinning thing. I mean, it was really nice. So I pulled up to the Playhouse. Turned it off. I got out, I mean, I thought, check my clothes, you know? And I realized something. That was the first one they'd seen. And of course, the weather was bad. I mean, they were down. And I realized trendiness. But it wasn't long before I started seeing them in Arizona and in Omaha, Nebraska. And finally, all over America. Why? Because that was the trend. That was the signs of the times, you see. And we get on board. And sometimes, whether we like it or not, because it's so trendy, we just do it anyway. Well, we should not be that flexible to the world's fashions. Are you listening to me? But we were. When was that? In times past. We look at verse number, what was that? 3, among whom also we all had. See the emphasis? We had our conversation. We had our manner of life. We had the way we lived. In when? Times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Well, now, it'll help us here. Oh, Lord. 1 John 2:15 says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We see at least in this particular passage, the lust of the flesh. And then the word mind is talking about the soul, right? So in that regard, we have no recourse as human beings. We're being human. When you stop being human, let me know, all right? So we have no recourse as human beings, independent of God, to pursue fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind, or the lust of the soul. We have no recourse. We do not know, as civilized people, what sin actually was on the other side of the flood. It's called the prediluvian era, before the flood. That's what it means. We have no concept of what sin. We see this, all sin defined in those three areas, but we have no concept that God would have to wipe out the whole planet to get rid of it. You would say, well, the most dastardly thing, and we've it's an evening service with adults and the kids are sleeping. So we can say some things. One of the most horrible things you can think about, and I worked in this industry for many years, there's not very much worse than child abuse and let's go to the next level, incest. There's nothing more devastating than that, to tear a human being's life up forever. Are you listening to me? Until God. Can you say amen here? Because there's recovery in God no matter what you're going through. But that's what we can think, oh, how horrid that is. But that is what man is geared toward, fulfilling whatever comes to mind. When was that? In times past. Can you say amen here? Now, we can look all pretty, and, you know, glory to God. Well, not me. No, I'm talking about incest, but just life itself. Luther said this. Luther said, man is altogether depraved outside of God. Altogether depraved. There's nothing. I've talked about this through the years. Leslie Van Houten just got paroled. Anybody remember who she is? Charles Manson's girl. So Leslie Van Houten was in my house. I was 18 years old. Leslie Van Houten was just an ordinary girl. I mean, I say ordinary. I do have something against her. The girl couldn't dance a lick. Time it. Give me some help here. But we met out of just a group of young kids just running around Alhambra, Pasadena, Alhambra, California. And we all just became, you know, just friends. And we all just kind of hung out together. And we went on independent ways. And years later, when I see on the news Leslie Van Houten, I call my first cousin. His wife said, yeah, that's her, because she was one of those in that group. I said, it can't be. Of course it was. Now, how can a regular, ordinary person from a well-cut family, are you listening to me, end up murdering somebody? Well, she was at the other house, so that's why she got paroled. But she was there in the house when they got murdered. Now, I'm telling you, independent of God, there goes you. There goes me. Are you listening to me? We are not absolved of anything that's depraved except that God be with us. And thank God we didn't have to go down that road in times past. We never did that. But, you know, we had our own little thing that we can talk about that we needn't. Amen. Why? Because that was in time past. I may as well stay here, Lord. I give zero attention to anything and everything that I've repented of. Zero attention. It has no bearing on my life today whatsoever. You shouldn't have anything trailing you that you think ever mind, and that's now inhibiting your walk with God. Somebody shout glory. Well, now, that was in time past. Verse number 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. We said that was an unregenerate state of man. The Bible points that out. Verse number 12, that at that time, what time? Time past. Ye were, everybody say, ye is me. Me were without Christ. Number one, without Christ. Being an alien or being aliens or alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, how it behooves us to stop here. How were we alienated from the commonwealth of God? How were we aliens to God and aliens to what God provided for us as commonwealth? Well, go to Colossians chapter 1. I remember this from teachings and times going by. It'll help us right here. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 1. I went through these pages and hung them out a little bit. Nicole ain't helping me now. Chapter 1. Whew. Brand new Bibles need to be done something with. You know, those money counting machines, you need to do that. Let it go to a computer. Okay, chapter 1, verse number 21. Look at this. Chapter 1, 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your spirits. That's how your Bible reads? Oh, no. Oh, no. How? Enemies where? In your mind, again, the chief component of the soul is the mind. How were you alienated from God? By the wicked works of your mind. Every one of us. Oh, you think, oh, brother, I don't think those wicked things. Get up here, let me cast that lying demon out of you right now. Every now and then something will run across your mind. You go, how in the world could I think? You won't take yourself to the shed. Amen. Why? Because the mind is not spiritual. Are you listening to me? It's not tangible, but it's not spiritual in the sense that we say spiritual. Well, a devil is a spirit in that regard. But I mean, from the standpoint of a holiness of God, the mind has no content whatsoever, spirituality whatsoever. So then, we know that's why it needs saving. Can you say amen here? And the degree to which it is saved is the degree to which you begin to think those thoughts. And if God defines you by his thoughts. You ought to define who God is by your thoughts. Who is he to me? He is my all in all. There's nothing outside of him that I need. All provisions come from him. Everything I need is in God. The world can't offer me anything. James says to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Are you listening to me? So now I have nothing. What does the world have to offer me? Nothing. Oh, brother, you know every now and then your recreational life. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. I remember when I graduated from Bible school, we graduated with another friend. They were out in Los Angeles. We went out there to preach for them a time or two. But another mutual friend that was of that group. And he said something to this mutual friend that got back to me. He said, I love Brother Marcel, but he's just, you know, too serious. Pastor James said, oh, you don't know him. He said, oh, man, he's always so sad. He said, brother, you don't know him. Why? He's given us all things richly to enjoy. What happened was, you know, I was telling Rob that I was born and raised here, you know, but I did a little loud my life in California. Many of you know that. Got educated out there, did all kinds of things. But I was constantly coming back here to stay in touch with my roots. And, you know, if there ever was anybody that would go to Los Angeles and have a crawfish boil, it was me. Amen? We'd come back here and get crawfish and get crabs and even have them shipped overnight. A neighbor looked over my fence one day. I saw two little hands going. And we were, hey, the Zataran was on. She's over there frying. I mean, crabs are boiling, you know. I caught him. I said, what's this? He says, that's what I want to know, what you're doing. That's called a crab boil. You stay in touch. If you don't stay in touch with your base, somebody shout amen here, you lose it. And you get absorbed into something. That's what we have to do as believers. Stay in touch with our base. Can you say amen? Or we get absorbed into the whole gamut of everything that everyone else is doing, and we lose our identity, which is in Christ. Well, he says here, you were without Christ. Let's get back over there, because I don't know the Colossians. Okay. At the time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, living, having no hope, and without God in the world. Well, we know that Emmanuel, God with us, we have that. Amen? Now, so we said then, how do we walk? Ephesians 4 and 17 says, walk not as other Gentiles walk. So we don't look like them anymore. We don't act like them anymore. We don't assimilate, as it were, into their society to be absorbed for identification, for fear of rejection. You know, we all have that desire to belong to somebody in some group. We, you know, that's just a desire. I remember I just recently left Alhambra, California, ministering out there, and my brother lives there, and that's where I lived when I first went out there. And just by example, there were two or three blocks, maybe two and a half blocks, where there were people of color, black people lived. It was 98% Caucasian, a sprinkle of Asian Hispanics, you know. And so we went back out there, and where I worked years ago on Main Street, I went down there, it was Emmett's Restaurant, a private, really nice restaurant, high-end restaurant. And it had Asian writing on it. I said, well, he sold to so-and-so, you know. And I went on Main Street, and Garfield turned down that street. And everything down there, the banks had, you know, I don't know whether Chinese or Korean or I don't understand that stuff, but everything that hold that, it literally has evolved. You understand what I'm saying? The business community and everything else has evolved to an Asian community now. That was 1963. until now. It's taken a long time for that to happen. And so people coming into that community for the first time have no understanding of what it used to be. Are you listening to me? And so if you get absolved and absorbed into any particular culture, you lose your identity. And if you lose your identity, you don't have influence. What is influence? That is literally leverage without a paycheck. You have to have leverage without a paycheck called influence in the pods that you're in. No matter what your age category is, chronologically, from the eldest to the youngest in here, we can impact people. And I'd rather impact them not with some style, but with the glory of God that's on the inside of me. Can you say amen here? We've been designed and fashioned to walk not as other Gentiles walk. But then how should we walk? We said we should walk circumspectly. We didn't say that, but let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Went to a number of other things. We'll get back to this. Ephesians chapter 5. He says here, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Well, we said you had to walk literally in honesty. We'll look at that in another vein in a minute here. But I want to stay with this word. And I purpose to kind of hang here just a little bit. 4 hours worth of teaching, 5 hours worth of teaching. We don't have 4 or 5 hours, you know. We'll be out before 10 o'clock. Amen? Well, look, he says here. He says, "You see then." That's a command. It's called an imperative. It's not requesting. "See then that you walk circumspectly." Well, that's fine if you know what circumspectly means. If you don't, you just kind of fake it. Amen? Well, what does circumspectly mean? The word circum, like for circumference, means around. Ever heard anybody say, "Let me see those specs"? It means to look. So, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, your identity being in Him, He defines you with His thoughts. Are you listening to me? You have to survey as you walk, while you walk, and with whom you walk. You have to look all around. Take inventory of where you are every time you step out into the community. Because you don't realize, like I said this morning, the world is watching. We were in Weatherford, Oklahoma 2 years ago this January. I'd been on a guided goose hunt one time. And that was here in southwest Louisiana. We were preaching over there. And the guy said, "I'll take you goose hunting." Didn't even know I was a hunter. Holy Ghost. He walks up and says, "Here's my card. I'm going to take you goose hunting." I said, "That's the Lord right there." Well, he took me goose hunting. Sky is covered with specks. And, oh, man. Here I've driven all this time. 2 shots and I'm done. Over. I'm thinking, that's about $175 a goose. But I enjoyed it. Here's the second hunt, because now these are all big, greater Canadas. Now the limit's not 3, it's 8. Whew. So we go out there to Weatherford, Oklahoma. And we're in this layout blinds, and the sky is covered. He says, "Shoot as many as you want to clean. They're going to keep them coming." I mean, wave after wave, 200, 150, they didn't even raise up. Ducks fall, I mean, the geese just falling, boom, you know. 10-pound goose sitting back, didn't even run. They just drop out of the sky. We shot 81 geese. I'm thinking, okay, I don't want all of them. And so a bunch of folk, you know, just kind of gave them to other people. And I think I took about 12 or 13 of them. That's big. And I'm lying at the end. It's, you know, we're in blinds. We land, you know, layout blinds. There's one guy here calling. There's a guy here, and I'm third. And all the way down, we got 19 hunters. It makes a little L. And we didn't shoot until the guy says shoot, because he'd bring them. You can feel the wing. Wait, I mean, they're that close. I'm talking about, you got to shoot at the head because you're going to blow them a piece. Well, but on this side of me was a doctor from New Orleans. Wayne was right here. One on the other side of him, a guy named Anthony. On that side was another guy. He was a doctor with a 14-year-old son. And it just bothered me to no end, because all the rest of these hunters, with the exception of me, Wayne, and Anthony, were using explicatives. You see that? I mean, they're just tearing up the sky with cussing. I'm thinking, wow, wow. And our thought was, there's a 14-year-old boy, and I'm waiting for his father to speak up. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
I'm going, when's he going to say something? I said, when is he going to say something? He can go ask the guys, could you cool your guys down? I've got a 14-year-old son. Then he's just shooting. I just given him your card, told him about your business down here, because he's from here. He said, I'll tell you, man. I said, going down there, you know, kids in the limited, they'll help you out. So we had a conversation, and the next thing you know, he's doing nothing about this. I sat there the whole hunt thinking, at any moment, he's going to say something. He never did. Got up. Everybody starts packing up and leaving. We paid the guide. And the Spirit of the Lord came on me. Right there in that ruffian, male environment. And I said, you know, fellas, didn't know one of them other than Wayne, that doctor, and Anthony. I didn't know anybody else. Didn't even know the guide. I said, you know what? We've had a wonderful hunt today. Not one person got injured. Everybody limited out. I think we ought to thank the Lord for that. I said, can you pray with me? I mean, every one of them. Don't expect people to rail against you. Oh, you listen to me? Take a stand. And when I said that, and I began to pray, and I'm telling you, we prayed a prayer from heaven itself concerning our health on our way home. Thank God for good. I mean, to a man, every one of them looked up. And someone said, what's your name? Now, I'm in Weatherford, Oklahoma, right before the border. I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, northeast border. You couldn't get further from the cities. He says, I said, what's your name? I said, why? He says, what's your son's name? I said, his name is Crispus. He says, Crispus Joseph? I said, he says, and you're Marcel Joseph? I thought, I don't know. Well, one thing, what did I do? He said, yeah. He says, wow. He says, there's a number, one of the number one salons in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is Joe B. Salon. Joe Billy, I think it is Joe B. Our daughter-in-law is about between the top four stylists in the whole city. He is the owner of that business, saying, your daughter-in-law, Joni, works for me. Are you listening to me? Now I'm asking you, what's the likelihood of that? And when I said that, I knew this. They were Christians, according to Joni, our daughter-in-law. They loved the Lord. He was being pummeled as well on that end. Are you listening to me? And the next thing you know, someone steps up and intervenes. He salutes it. He applauds it. And guess what? That wasn't the world watching. That was another believer watching. Can you say amen here? What? Because you better be spirit-led. I mean, don't just, you know, I'll tell you one thing, I'm not going to have this around me. Guess what? You're Jonah overboard by then. Can you say amen? You better know that you're inspired by the Holy Ghost and take a stand. Because all that time, I'm not looking for an opportunity. I think I'm going to pack up and go home. And the Spirit of the Lord just showed up. And when he did, I just yielded to him. I'm talking about being who you are, even in a vile and crooked world. Can you say amen? Now, what happened there? Well, how did I get there? What happened was, God wanted an intervention. And he had three choices for that to happen. Me, Wayne, and this guy. And I don't know who else felt it. But I wasn't waiting on, you got something? Huh? What about you? You got something? I had it. And so I responded to it. And guess what? There was no calamity. There was nobody losing any money. There was nobody getting mad. I'm going to tell you right now, It's what we call toleration. We had a candidate that ran in the last election on being more tolerant. Thank God they're not there. Hallelujah. Because toleration seems to be, well, here's what it's defined as. Toleration is simply this: allowing people to do in your midst what you already conceive to be wrong. That's toleration. Now, if you have no control over it, that's one thing. But if you've got control over it, you should exercise it. When you allow people to do in your midst what you conceive to be wrong, you just tolerated sin. Are you listening to me? We started out on a pretty high note. All of a sudden, look, we're going. We're coming back up in a minute, amen? What am I saying? I'm saying I'm not going to be pummeled. Well, what? Keep it outside of, what about me? Forget others, what about me? What do I tolerate? How many words have to be spoken that are cuss words before I change the channel? Are you listening to me? Do you have a quarter? One, two, that's it? No. I need one, and it's gone. We were doing, you know, when we travel, how we got over here, Lord. When we travel, sometimes we have 2 or 3 days we're out on the road. If we're in Pennsylvania, we got a next meeting in Chicago, we don't come home. So we travel back and forth, you know, and we find a nice matinee, a 1 o'clock movie. There's a place in Birmingham, it's $2 Tuesday. Glory to God. I mean, they always have, I mean, popcorn this big for $1.75. Hey, we try to get $2 Tuesday, all right? Now, here's the issue. We walked into this one place one time, and we didn't know it was in Virginia somewhere. We looked, checked out all the ratings on the movie. Fine. So we went and sat down, and it was a great, man, the movie was awesome, and it was just going down so good. You know, 45 people in there at 1 o'clock, you know, just not crowded. And out of nowhere, just to make the X, evidently, some of this horrible explicative comes out from a child, not even an adult actress. Well, we just got up, excuse me, and got on out of there. And people looked at me, why are you leaving? Because I just met my quarter. I don't need the second one. That bomb has already done it. Can you say amen here? I'm talking about raising the bar. I have a standard to meet. I've got to live before God. I've got to have my own conscience not, you know, smote me. Are you listening to me tonight? We have an impact that's awaiting us in 2018 we have not yet touched. And to do that, we're going to have to walk circumspectly. We're going to have to look around. We're going to have to make surveys. We're going to have to make sure where we are, what we say, is not going to impact anybody and bring reproach upon that name by which we are called. Can you say amen here? I'm almost done. Almost is a relative term. You do understand that, don't you? We're up fixing, about to close, all right? And we're on our way. Glory to God. Now, with that in mind, go to 1 Thessalonians. I might do this, Lord. I might not, if you help me. Let's see here. If I can skip that one, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'm going to get you out 5 minutes earlier than that. How's that sound? Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. We'll leave that alone because that'll take us on another rabbit trail. All right? And anybody getting any help? I mean, I want to be careful. This is not condescending. This is not condemnation. This is who we are. We're defined by His thoughts. He's righteous. Oh, glory to God. All right. Nicola, I thought I had it, but look like I'm in struggle city right now. No, I got it. All right, here we go. If I peel them one at a time, I think I'll be okay. All right. Chapter 4. Now, we touched upon this theme this morning a little bit as far as the integrity. A second. Maybe from the bottom. Man, there we go. New Bible. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 11. It says, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. He's not finished with the command. So that you walk honestly toward them that are without. You walk in wisdom to them that are without. You walk in honesty to those that are without. Why? And watch this. This is tied to something. And that ye may have lack of nothing. Your abundance and your provision is directly tied to you walking in honesty to those that are without. Do you see that? When you do that, it literally assures your abundance or your supply. Not because all of a sudden, okay, there's a, if and and thing. It's just because that's the way the kingdom operates. And it's not intermittently or every now and then. You have a posture of integrity. You have a posture of honesty to those that are without. I was a probation officer in Los Angeles. And we were demolishing, they were demolishing our building, bunches of our buildings. One, the headquarters wasn't, but they were older buildings being demolished. And there was nothing of worth in there. They had emptied all of those buildings. But something came up missing. And about a month and a half prior to that, maybe 2 months prior to that, the chaplain of the institution observed me, no longer than that. I was on one of my posts. I don't know if I was an officer of the day, but I was reading my Bible in this male-dominated environment. I'm reading my Bible. I did it all the time. Everywhere I went, if I was on duty, I would sit there and I would take my Bible out and just take it, relax, because you could do it. You could read anything you wanted to. I'd always read my Bible. And so a week or so, a lady came back and started talking to me. How you doing? Fine, 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 Ms. Boo Boo. And he asked me some questions. I knew he was kind of doing an inventory and kind of inquiring as to who I was and what I was about. I wasn't in the ministry at that time. I was just a believer in love with God and fell in love with His Word. It was governing my life. I couldn't get enough of the Bible. I mean, if I was in the deer stand, if I was in the duck blind, I didn't start killing ducks till I met you. Every one of those foul feathers can be blamed to you, all right? But I was, I did a lot of fishing, a lot of hunting, rabbit hunting, bird hunting, pheasant hunting, quail hunting. Everywhere I went, I took my Bible. Every break I had at a job, I took my Bible, I read my Bible. I just fell in love with the Word of God. So he observed that and came. And about a week later, he came back and said, we're having a banquet. I'd like for you to be the keynote speaker. What? You want what? You want me to be the keynote speaker? I thought, I laughed. I told my wife, I said, that man asked me. She said, I think you ought to take it. I said, I've never spoken about anything in the Bible about it. He says, well, here's your chance to. And I thought about it. I kind of got a go-ahead on the inside of me, and we did. And it was people from all over. Who's that guy with the Vonzi? He was there, and a whole bunch of people and stars. And I'm thinking, what in the world am I going to say? Well, I got a whole lot of words. I began to share, out of my heart. And God just blessed that organization that night. I mean, it was just absolutely remarkable that I got through it. Knees knocking. And so back to this demolition of the building. And so sometime later, this thing is being demolished. And then the superintendent came in, said something was stolen. I don't know what it could have been. I want the name of everyone that was on duty during that time. And so they brought all the officers and everybody was on duty, all the sub people, everything. Everybody had a key. Brought them all up on a list. I don't know, it must have been 100 people. And so the hierarchy of the building, the superintendent wanted them to now, all the supervisors, to kind of start giving those names. And they would call the name off and so and so and so. And when they called the name Marcel Joseph, the superintendent said, take that one off the list. And the guy that told me about it, the officer, my officer, he said, take it off the list. And so one guy said, well, why him? Because the superintendent said, because he would never do that. He was sitting there that night at that banquet in observation. This was the top man in the whole county. Are you listening to me? Integrity and love of God prevailed and removed me from being under suspicion. You don't know who's watching. You don't know what the situation is. And every time you have an opportunity, you walk in integrity to those that are without. Can you say amen to that? What are we doing? We are just putting ourselves in position to magnify God in our lives. Without having to just go out and talk about the Lord Jesus, you are a walking, talking, living sermon. And God is holding us responsible for representing Him as an ambassador of Christ. Can you say amen? All I'm telling you tonight, I just said this morning, I thought about this sitting on the bed earlier. We service about 200 churches through the years, 200 churches. We got a handful of those we go to every year, a handful out of, I'll say maybe 10. Everybody wants a Sunday. You only got, well, we take the last two Sundays of the year off every year, so those are gone. You got 52 weeks, you got 50. We don't, there's certain things we don't know. If there's a Monday holiday for 4th of July and the Sunday, we will not book it. We won't get out and do it. Right. So you got about, let's say from 47 to 48 Sundays available. Well, everybody wants a Sunday. That means every other year this person, every 2 years this person. But there's places we go every year. And one we used to go to, still to the degree you go twice a year, that's Pastor McClure. Well, how do you do that? Well, there's prioritizing in the spirit realm. But those that we go to every year, because we bond it in a way. Are you listening to me? That it's almost critical for our own spiritual welfare that we be in those churches. This is one of them. Why? Because you reflect the love of God. You demonstrate. You after it. You pour out. You give. You support. That's what integrity is. Not just the visual honesty. It literally is you walking with your heart before God, and it will not condemn you because you do the right thing. Are you listening to me? We want to have that in such a mass capacity. We want to double up, triple up this year. We want to make sure, I'm talking about individual lives, that when we step into a forum, nobody can question whether we walk in integrity or not. When that man told me that, it was Brantley was his last name, he said, we couldn't, everybody in the room went, the air went out of the room. When Mr. Oren stood up and says, take his name off the list. And he was adamant, and he scratched it off. Why? Because he observed, this was a Jewish man, listen to me, he's not a Christian. He was a Jewish man who just sat back and observed, and something came through in that meeting that would say to him, that man would not do that. We want that said about us in every situation. Can you say amen? Why? Because we're defined by his thoughts. Hallelujah. And that's it. Let's stand. We're not going any longer. We're not going to go any further. I'm telling you right now, we have an opportunity to make a difference like we've never made before in 2018 with our personal lives. We ought to grasp it, get a hold of it, run with it, and magnify the one who redeemed us. Lift our hands to the Lord just for a moment. Father, we love you. Oh, Lord, how we love you. And you have demonstrated your love for us far beyond our capacity to reciprocate. And all by having been redeemed by you, Lord, it's obligatory. We're obligated to reflect your character in the earth and show that we're ambassadors of Christ. Oh, far be it from us to bring reports upon your name in any capacity. And should we do it inadvertently, a missing of the mark, we're absolved of that by our repentant attitude. Quick to repent, Lord, of anything and everything that we are obviously missing the mark in. For that we give you the glory and the honor and the praise in the mighty name of our Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. Yahshua, the anointed one. Messiah, that wonderful name that we're named by, that we dare not bring reproach upon. So we give you the praise tonight. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, that your love toward us is voluminous, all-consuming, and we yield to your spirit at every occasion to do so rather than our own. In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah and amen.